Welcome to Authentically Moms. I'm Jacqueline.
And I'm Sajatha, and nothing's off limits, and we keep it real.
Yay! I just kind of want to recap, like, who we are and why we're doing this podcast. Am I 42? 42?
I'm 45.
Am I 42, though?
You're 43.
Damn it.
You're 43, right?
I am 43. I'm 43.
Yeah.
So clearly when you are in your 40s.
You're just in your 40s. You
just, yeah, just say 40s. 40s. I have three kids. 13 is Donovan. I have a 10-year-old girl, Breslin, and then a 4-year-old about to turn 5.
I know.
Laurel. And Breslin has special needs. And I am Mexican Catholic. Chaz, my husband, is Jewish. And yeah, we're just a blended family.
We're definitely blended. I said me and her are blended too.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Talk about you.
All right. I am 45. I'm of Indian descent. I've got a daughter that's 14 that just went into high school. And I've got a 10-year-old son that is in fifth grade. I'm Hindu. Very spiritual, and my husband is Bobby, and he is Christian. So, and I'm North Indian, he's South Indian. We speak totally different languages, different dialect.
And different food too, correct?
Totally different food. Very different food. Like, I know everyone thinks Indian food is Indian food. It's totally different. Like, I had to get adjusted to his flavor, his like coconut and everything, and it was just very different, but it's yummy. But yeah.
Yeah, so completely blended.
So both of us are interfaith. We have
interracial.
Interracial marriages.
And yeah, and we have both boys and girls.
Yes.
And we have a special needs in the mix too.
Yes, and we've got little dogs.
Yeah, both have dogs. So, and a little one and a big one.
Yes.
So there
and
we
they
go.
Love each other. We all love each other.
And we're love each
one
other.
Big blended we're, family.
So welcome to Authentically Moms. This is a podcast where we promote like being your best self. After all the years you've put into and still are putting into motherhood, your relationships, friendships, being a wife, being a daughter sometimes, and just being able to do that and taking care of yourself, whether that's through supplements, self-care inside and out, and just feeling your best, being your best self, because I feel like we are at a point in our lives where we can focus on ourselves. Our kids are more independent.
Yes. And I think it also matters more.
To me, more.
I feel like if you don't take care of yourself inside and outside, things can go down really fast. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like with
Not only our bodies.
With our bodies or emotions or mind, like, I think you need to be in touch with yourself, like really pay attention to it, right? Like really.
And you know your body well enough, right? You know yourself, you know what feels off. You also notice more things like visibly. Our 30s, we didn't notice so much, but now we're like, okay, we need some Botox. We need some other things,
hair,
right?
Some grays are coming in. Things are starting to change. Mm-hmm. You're starting to age a little bit. I know it's not something that we want to hear, but we're aging just a little bit. So I think the symptoms are showing up.
You
see what I'm saying? Even though our life is still much busier. I mean,
yeah, it never seems to slow down, but at least like you can take time for yourself.
Yes.
It's easier.
And also, I think you do notice it because things are for real changing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever the case may be, your body is changing in the 40s.
Yeah. The other thing I think is interesting about us is that you're Indian. I'm Mexican. Mm-hmm. We're exposed to my husband's Jewish and he's from South India.
Yeah. Kerala. Uh-huh.
Like, we are very cultural. You know, we bring in a lot of our culture into this podcast, whether it's how we grew up with our moms being so different than American moms and just like the American lifestyle, and which I think can be very, very different. And us being just surrounded by a bunch of white people. I mean, I'm just going to be honest, right? A lot of our friends are. So it's like,
should I say this or should I not say it?
So it's like a visible difference. And I think it's funny. And I think that just what makes us unique is that we're bringing that difference and just having fun with it.
We are absolutely having fun with it. But I think that it's a nice blend of seeing where our mom and our parents were, be, you know, with the culture, how mm-hmm. we are and how some of the things that we still hold on to and we want to, you know, give to our kids also.
Right.
But then some of the changes, like, you know, just like little yeah, example,
some of the
like
neat changes,
some of the changes that our parents didn't know, like,
yeah,
just a very quick example, like PTA, like our parents didn't know anything.
Oh God,
about PTA,
no.
But now we're like, we want to make sure we're part of it and
right, right.
very much involved in our kids' school. But yeah. I still want to blend in definitely the culture aspect in our kids.
For which sure. Like. And along with putting yourself first, two things. One is putting your body, speaking up for yourself, whether, you know, what you like and what you don't like, that also goes hand in hand with sexuality, being in those relationships, speaking up for yourself, making sure that you're getting out what they're getting out, you know, have your orgasms, know what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and being okay with speaking up, you know, normalizing everything about our bodies, and then just giving no fucks. I think we've hit a point where we've stopped people pleasing and absolutely. Trying just to have people like us. I think we're at a point where we don't want to be fake anymore. Not that we've been fake, but we're not trying to care and appease other people
right.
with our decisions, our actions, our personalities. We are who we are now.
We are who we are.
We're absolutely. Confident in who we are. And we appreciate that in our relationships.
Yes. I think that gives us that confidence. I think we're comfortable being who we are, right?
Yeah. Like just- and I think it really changes your mindset. And it's actually really freeing. It's actually really freeing. I can't say that I definitely did not feel like that in my 20s. I started to feel like that in my 30s only because of the present situation. But now I feel like it's definitely more common in people who have not experienced something that made them do it before, but like have naturally come around in their 40s and started thinking, hey, I need to put myself and my family first.
Yes. And just coming around that, putting your family. When we say that, when you say that, you're talking about your immediate family.
Immediate family.
Which is very different because mm-hmm. in our culture, family means the whole family.
Yeah.
Like
cousins, mom, dad,
cousins,
like whatever.
Everybody. Yeah. And so that's a huge, huge change in adjustment,
yeah.
uh-huh. right? That was huge. But I think those are the things that is nice that changes mm-hmm. a little bit.
I think it's like an adjustment for our families.
It is adjustment for our families, but it's also like a relief. Like it feels good because growing up, it's all about everybody else except us.
Our friend.
Everybody be okay except you.
Yeah.
And I think I still have that. Like I have to consciously make that effort.
Yeah.
I think you do a good job. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's about me.
And for our mental health, I mean, that's really big. You and I have both experienced debilitating anxiety. I mean, debilitating where we wouldn't leave the house and on the other spectrum where we wouldn't want to be in our house, right?
We wouldn't want to get out of.
Yeah. And so we also have that kind of connection where people go through trauma and tragedy where you can come out on the other side and you now understand that at your lowest low, you will and can get over it, but you still have that understanding of how people can be in that headspace.
Yes.
And you sympathize and you can be there as a support person. Mm-hmm. That gives you a lot of life understanding and being able to have empathy for
absolutely.
A lot of people because that is really big nowadays. I think it's really big now, and I think it's always been big. I just don't think it was recognized.
Right, right.
You know,
we weren't as vocal. Yeah, out there.
Because Mexicans do not go to therapy before.
And neither do
Indians. Did not see anybody.
Yes.
Mental health is not a thing. It's more like suck it up and move on.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah.
I think that's us.
In a little nutshell.
So pay attention to these types of shows. Love is Blind, because it's something that you don't have to sit around and focus on. You can do other things. You can, you know,
fold your laundry.
Yes, fold your laundry.
Yes.
Do dishes. And
that is, I will bring like loads of laundry and put it right in front of me and turn on my TV.
Yeah.
And I can multitask.
Exactly. I love those shows. I don't like shows where it has, you know, foreign languages because you have to like read or like where they have text or if it's going so slow.
I've done it where I like, you know, you can just change the audio to
but
English.
Sometimes you can't.
But it's so hard because it's very robotic. And I'm like, wait, this sounds really, really weird. You know, whenever they change it over from a different language to English.
Okay. To jump on that.
Yeah.
I have watched so many seasons of Love is Blind or Married at First Sight, not only like the US versions, but other languages. And I can tell when it's the same person doing a voiceover from different seasons for different people.
Oh, you can't.
They use the same people sometimes. Oh my gosh. That's so embarrassing. They use the same guy for this other guy last season.
Really? Okay. I don't think I've watched any of the, like, fully watched
them. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I am bad. I am a sucker for those reality shows because we met our husbands. I was going to say fiancés. We met our husbands, and I don't want to say traditional way, but just seeing them in person and getting to know them.
Yes.
Nowadays, I don't know what I would do. I know there's a lot of avenues, but I don't know how
to act or great try to.
They are.
Yeah, but it's just.
I've heard mixed feelings.
I think it's kind of weird to go to a place and like everyone's single and you just mingle.
Or like we were already in relationships and probably married before apps came out. I know the first one was like match.com, but when you meet people through apps or through Instagram or Facebook, like DMing people, that's a whole different ballgame that we did not have to go through.
Honestly, I think everybody that I can remember always met each other during college or work.
Or friends of friends or like,
but that was, it was
going
social
out. I mean, yes, social.
Or people that you know. So, mm-hmm. Like, but now I don't, yeah, like a lot of my, I have my microphone like this, but my friends that at this age who are divorced or dating are all on apps.
Yeah, because I feel like you've already gone through everyone you've known. Not gone through, like dated, but like, you're exposed to all the friends of friends that
you already you're know gonna and you're limited.
Yeah.
Yes. No one's
exactly available. And if you're at the same job, you already see the same people.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've already gone through your social network.
Yeah.
So to say.
And there's no options there. So you gotta venture out a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. I didn't even think about that. Like, what would you?
I don't know. But I mean, there, and then you have the now reality shows that you can go on. And so Love is Blind, I'm sure everyone, most of you know how it works, but if you don't know how it works, they have these single women and men and they meet in these pods or these rooms and there's a wall so they can't see them, but you basically emotionally attach yourself to a person and then you end up engaged and then you go on a trip. You see them in person, you go on a trip and you see if it works out or not.
And within those pods, you're also dating other people to find that right match. That
exactly. I do like that aspect.
I do. I think it would be very hard for me to not ask what they look like or their backgrounds or anything like that. Like, it's really difficult because that's going to be on the back of my mind because I do want that attraction to be there. That's important.
Right. So you have are you saying that the background aspect, like their race and all that stuff, has an impact on your...
I mean, not
visual attraction to them.
No, but I'd like to know what they are, what the background is. I don't, I'm not saying that's what I'm going to say no to that, but I'd like to know. Are you laughing?
I was making fun of you. I was setting you up.
I know you are. You're always setting
yourself up. But,
but no, I'd like to know. I'm an American born Indian girl.
You're born the most fobbish Indian girl.
You found out after I told you what fobby meant. Girl,
no,
you got
beef. I know what fob means.
But you didn't know I was a fob until I told you I was a
But I can tell. I can totally tell now.
How?
All the produce you get is from Desi Foods.
It is. You are such a lie. I do not get my produce from Desi Foods. That's you going over
Patel
there.
Patel Brothers.
I get mine from Trader Joe's. I get my chili pepper from the Indian store because the American stores don't know what chili pepper is.
Oh my gosh. I love getting you shit.
But I'm proud of it. I'm an American born Indian girl. Born in Chicago, and you could not tell that I'm an Indian girl by my accent. I don't have an accent,
oh, yeah,
but like
definitely not.
When I talk, yeah. So you're not going to know, but you can have an emotional connection, but you'll never know how much I love Bollywood.
Yeah.
I love Indian music. That's all I listen to in my car. I love watching Indian movies. I keep up with the Bollywood actors and actresses.
Yeah. So they have to be on board with
saying,
all of that.
But like,
yeah.
If I'll make it a point to say it, but I want someone who's also, they can be a different culture, a different race, but I want them to be interested in my Bollywood. Like, I will dance.
Yeah. I feel like the most people it comes out naturally. The only people who avoid it are the ones who are definitely trying to hide or not express or not even give out any clue what their race or ethnicity is, which doesn't really make sense to me. This latest season, there was that Asian guy who did not want to say he was Asian. Remember?
I don't remember him. So I didn't know you could say, could you ask?
Yeah, you can ask, you can say whatever, but if they choose to answer, that's on them. But he deliberately avoided that question for the longest time. And then he kept saying, oh yeah, lots of people say I'm like a hot Asian. I'm a hot Asian. I'm good looking for an Asian. So I was like, now you're just setting it up. Like now you're just
There's some insecurity there. Flip the script. So you know that if someone found that out, they would probably question that? Because why would you hide that?
Like, I think that whoever he was talking to, he may have felt that she would have, which I think.
But you're going to do it better regardless. Off now.
Exactly.
If that's something that you want to hide, then you know that that's not for right for the right reason.
Exactly. You know, I think they've gotten smarter because in the earlier seasons, there was a lot of younger 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that really worked out. But I think how they're casting now, younger 30s. Older 20s and maybe some late 30s is that you kind of know who you are, what you like, your morals, your values, how you want to raise a family, if you want a family, all that stuff.
You're a little bit more established.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think you can find a better match, but also could you go all in on someone that you did not see, but just had a connection with?
I'd say that'll be there had to be some sort of physical attraction. Mm-hmm. Like the emotional attraction is more important, but there has to be some sort of physical attraction.
But do you think that it could grow on you? Do you have to have a little bit of sexual, like maybe they're not your type, but could you envision them based on the emotional connection you could grow to love them?
Yes. Yes. And then sometimes you get to know them and it becomes more attractive.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
So I think that that could be also it. But I would, if I'm not attracted at the first, I will give them a chance because we have that emotional connection, right? But I would give it a chance. But if it didn't grow, and I couldn't get over that fact of like, I don't know what it is. I'll be honest. Like, it's hard for me to be with someone that's like shorter than me if I have heels on. I'm just saying.
But what if he was like everything, everything?
Oh, that's, that's true.
Yeah. If you said on paper, you want a taller guy all day long. Right.
Right. But I understand like it doesn't. But I'm saying I would hesitate or not hesitate, but I would it would grow like I would be OK with it. So if you question me. Yeah. If everything was okay, yes, then I wouldn't focus on that one thing.
But if they came out the big reveal.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be like, oh.
You would have to get over that initial thing.
Yeah. So the other question I have, could you fake it in the beginning? There's a couple, the one that we were talking to about, it's a white girl and an Asian guy. You could tell that she just was not into him.
Right when she saw him. Right when those doors opened.
When she saw him. I call that shit out. It comes with age. You can snuff out bullshit and fakeness like so good. And I think you and I are better.
Could have been just, you can tell she was not all in.
I mean, despite making out with him and kissing him, she never looked at him. She was always either looking down or trying to hug him so she didn't have to look at him.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people would be like, wow, she is into him. Look at how much they're making out and hugging. To me, I was like, she's just avoiding looking at him and conversating with him.
Yes. But what I appreciate about her is immediately.
Yeah, she sure
she's
did.
Like, I just can't. I'm not attractive. When she was hugging him and kissing him, I think she was just trying to figure out in her.
Exactly. You could tell she was questioning. What did I just do?
She
what
was.
Am I doing?
But I appreciate her being honest and not like going and continuing with and thinking maybe it will. Because that was a huge shock for her.
Yeah. She could have been more honest with him, though, because she was saying, it's me, like, I'm not okay with doing this. I'm not,
that's right,
you know, and like,
that she said
he was
else.
Just, and he was super accommodating. He was like, we don't have to go. We can go later. We can just figure out what happens to us. And she just wanted a clean cut, dry, like, I'm out. And he was so accommodating. She had to keep making shit up. Just say it and be done with it and end it because you're just going to end up hurting his feelings anyway.
But she had an idea. I feel like he had a little bit, he was questioning because he asked the cameraman, is that what she told you guys?
Yeah. I feel bad for him. But I also feel like he was lying because first of all, he was avoiding his race. Second of all, he was like, I'm the hottest. He was trying to sell himself.
Yes.
And not that he wasn't attractive or whatever, but you put purposefully pictures in these people's mind to kind of trick them.
Yeah.
I appreciate this series because for the most part, people are putting their hearts out. They're being vulnerable. They're trying to genuinely get a connection because clearly nothing that they've done. They're still single. They want a family. They want, not, I'm not saying they want a family, but they want to be with a person.
Right. They want a companion.
And you can only be with a good person in your right fit if you don't have to change how you are.
Right. Just be yourself.
Yeah. And if you're a total douche, then there's many people who walk out of there without finding people.
Yes.
And then you're like, no wonder they're single.
Right.
There was that other couple who she is super insecure. And he's like, normally I don't date. He was trying to beat around the bush because she kept saying, how into me are you?
Are you? Am I hot? Can I say the name?
Joe. And what is her name?
I forget her name, but she's a little heavier set.
Yeah.
And he straight up said
Madison.
He said that he's not into... He's into thinner girls. He said that. Yeah. So that was an adjustment for him.
Right.
He had to try to overlook that a little bit.
Yeah. But he kind of said all the right things to her. He didn't lie to her. He was just saying how he had to take a moment to put the physical with the emotional connection and all that, which is all true. But I think she kept putting him on the spot saying, well, did you think I looked hot?
Because she knows.
She's so insecure.
Yeah, she's very insecure. And she's another girl who, if he makes a mistake, she will do anything to cover that up and move on and just stay with him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she's got confidence and she doesn't have a backbone either because she keeps on asking. She wants to hear something else, but she knows that he's thinking.
Which is a really fine line because you want your partner to give you compliments and... I think she wants love bombing compliments because that's her reassurance.
Yes.
That he's into her.
Right.
I don't need to hear from Chaz. I like that he says it when he says it too much, like in the beginning, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, just like, stop.
It's overkill. Stop sucking up.
But I appreciate, what did you do? No, but I appreciate it. But I don't need to hear those things to know that he's into me, that he loves me, that he wants to be with me. This girl needs it all the time. It feels uncomfortable for him. Like, I feel uncomfortable for him because he has to reassure her so much.
She has to reassure her insecurity.
Yeah.
He's trying to, she's so, and so I think that's such a turnoff to me. Like, she's got everything going for her. She's established.
She's a beautiful girl. She's established. You know what? Like, she's not even big. She's curvy.
She's very curvy, but she's good. But what I'm saying is he has this preference or the girls that he's always been with. And then she seems like something's happened in her background where that's where she's insecure. Because you can be heavier, thicker, or whatever, but still be super confident.
1,000%.
So
I don't think your body has anything to do with how confident you are. You're right on that. Like something in her past relationships or whatever. Yes, your past relationships form who you are, but you also can't use your past relationships to make all your future relationships seem unfair. Like you're basically making him make up for what the past relationships did.
Yeah.
And that's also not fair.
Right, right. But I don't think they're going to last.
Well, yeah, because if she's not, I don't want to say put him in his place, but if she's just like overlooking all these things just to be with someone and to make it work. Maybe that'll work temporarily, but that's definitely not a healthy relationship.
It's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not. I think they just met the parents. I don't think you've gone this far.
Nope.
Okay. I won't say anything.
I will though.
Okay. But I'm not going to say anything to ruin it, but I think they just met the parents. And all I'm going to say is my opinion is he has the check boxes for like the emotional connection, the way she is with the family. But I honestly think it's, he's not physically attracted and he's trying to push it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's working. And I think there's certain things that he's like kind of.
I give him credit forcing for it. Trying to.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I know, you know, he knows that there's that emotional connection. So what's better, right? No, all these emotional connections are strong. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten engaged. What do you think is better? To try and see if that physical connection comes or just cut it off like Casey did?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the other end. If you were the girl, how would you want that guy? I personally do believe that sometimes you when you have an emotional connection, you can build that attraction. But I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. Like, I wouldn't want to be the girl who, like, a guy had an emotional connection but wasn't attracted to me, and then it started growing.
Yeah, because we're not wired that way, right? Even not meeting someone in your social network, what makes you want to DM them? What makes you want to swipe right or left, whatever the fuck mm-hmm. a swipe is? Mm-hmm. It's that physical attraction or mm-hmm. that like, maybe, right? It's not you talking to them for a couple of weeks and then say that. So it goes against everything in us. Even if someone sets you up, right? What is the first thing you're going to do? Probably like see them, get a picture, whatever. It's not like a total blind date.
No.
So to have to think about it in that way is crazy. If someone was just totally fugly and just like god awful, you would not talk to them to even see if there was an emotional connection. I'm just being honest.
That's true. But in this case, they're not, these are attractive girls and guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So I understand, totally unattractive. She is a very pretty girl. I don't think that's just his type, but he's making excuses in his mind to be like, we have this. And I just don't want to be on that end. I want someone like super crazy about me.
Me too.
You know, like
me too.
So it's, but she knows it. So I don't know how I can see it happen that way.
You want someone to be happy. But also at the end of the day, you don't want to settle or just have a relationship where it's like one-sided. I really feel like we got really lucky that, you know, there is like mutual respect, mutual admiration. And you can tell relationships where it's probably not like that.
Right.
But that's what I need. That's how I need that.
I guess we can speak. It's about me, what I want, and there's a lot of relationships out there that can work the other way where there's no attraction, but the companion is good. They got an emotional connection. But for me, and I think you too, we both need both of it. But going back to the show or the situation, they don't seem like they want that attraction though at the same time.
They do. But also like you can't expect what you've had because clearly it's not working for you.
No, but they're hoping.
Oh,
when they're
of course.
Behind those doors
they want it all.
They want it all. At the end of it, they still want it all.
Yeah. Well, so. Good luck with that because not everyone has it all. There's always just some things and there's some things that you can overlook and there's always going to be things.
Always. But it just has to be what you're willing to compromise.
Exactly. Well, that was our podcast. If you haven't seen Love is Blind, watch it. I guarantee you. Even the guys get hooked. Chaz could not have seen the first 5 episodes and he's jumped in. He's like, oh, you're watching this shit again. I guarantee you, he's like, don't watch the rest without me. He is sucked into it. It's crazy, but they like it.
Come back at the end. They're like, oh, did they end up breaking up? Or are they
together? I know. They're asking questions. I'm like, stop asking questions.
They're curious. Yes.
Well, don't forget to rate us where you're listening to this podcast. Keep spreading the word. Tell all your girlfriends and your family about us.
Yes.
And we'll see you next time. You do you, boo.
All right.
Also, our Instagram. Follow us on our Instagram.
Yes.
And you can see us all the time. Bye.
All right. Bye.